been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved. Oh, yes, sir. I'm so glad that I found out He can bring me out, show me the way. Thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. Washed in the blood of Jesus, I've been born again. Oh, thank you, Lord. Aren't you glad you're free tonight? Aren't you glad that He can set you free? Bring you out of bondage of sin and set your feet on a solid rock. Praise the Lord. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet him in the name of the Lord. Tell him you're glad to see him in church tonight. Play some more of that, brethren, if you will. Say praise the Lord. Amen. Give the Lord a nice hand clap of praise tonight. You love Him with all your heart. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's look at our prayer request. I'll let you be seated for just a few minutes if you want to be. Brother Jim Maxwell wants us to remember a Malachi Pierce in prayer. He's 2 years old, has been diagnosed with a rare form of leukemia. He is the nephew of a man that I deal with in Johnson City. So we certainly want to remember that child tonight, that family, that the Lord would just be with them. May His divine will be done in that child's life. I want to pray for Brother Joseph Mentor from Brother Shrewsbury's church. The doctors say he doesn't have long to live. He is suffering from heart failure. I want to remember that prayer request tonight. Brother Bobby Hayton sends that in. I want to have a special prayer request tonight here for Sister Bambi Lawson. She just had surgery, is nauseous, needs her prayers for a swift recovery. So let's remember her tonight as we pray that the Lord would be mindful of that situation. Brother Robert Marrero, heard from him just a few minutes ago. His former pastor, Brother Miguel Ramon, is dying of cancer. Doctors have given him up and he's dying of cancer. And they asked that we would pray for that situation tonight, that the will of the Lord would be done. Also, Bernie Young, he's suffering from a very severe kidney stone attack. We'll remember him in prayer tonight. Brother Eddie Yance has injured his back. He's in a lot of pain, but he's here in the service tonight. And he said, please pray for him. So let's remember that request tonight as we pray. And here's a prayer request for Brother Gene Littleton's son, Patrick. He is in Vanderbilt Hospital in Nashville, Tennessee, very sick and in the process of having several tests run. So they're asking that we would remember that prayer request tonight, that God would be mindful of him. Brother Gary and Sister Lona says, please pray for our neighbor, John. He is to have his toe amputated tomorrow. So let's remember that prayer request. The Lord would be mindful of that. I want to pray for Christine Baker. She's homesick, needs a touch from the Lord. Let's remember that need tonight as we pray. Sister Sylvia Barnum sends this in to please pray for both Sister Gail and Brother Sam Clark. They're in need of strength and rest. Brother Sam is having a very hard time. So let's remember that prayer request for he and Sister Gail, that God would just be with them during this time. Also, Brother Junior Davis and the Davis family, we just pray for those folks tonight. We don't know what God's got planned, but it's a good plan. And it'll work. God's plan always works. So we pray for Brother Junior Davis. We also pray for his family, that the Lord would just be mindful of them and comfort them. Also, the sick folks here in our church, we've got several folks that are sick. We don't want to forget them. We want to remember them. Hold them up to the Lord, that God would just be mindful of them. Let me remind you of the meeting over in Ruth, North Carolina. I think it started last night, runs through Friday night. So if you get a chance to go, I'm sure they'd love to have you. Also, our blood drive, the Happy Valley Church of Jesus Christ blood drive, 2 weeks from tomorrow. It'll be here at the fellowship hall from 2 until 7 p.m. So remember that if you would be willing to donate a pint or pints of blood, just ever how you feel led and can do, I'm sure they would certainly appreciate it. They have fallen in love with Happy Valley. They really have. They love you. They love you very much. So let's remember that. That's a good community service we can be in the community. So don't forget that. How many of you won't forget that? I look like I'm talking to myself right here, right now. Ain't nobody got up paying one lick of attention to me. Blood drive, 2 weeks from tomorrow. Don't forget that, 2 to 7. These prayer requests. You have an unspoken prayer request tonight? Something you'd like for this group to pray about? Do you believe God can answer our request tonight? Amen. Do you believe God is bigger than your problem, whatever it is? We rest and trust that He's got it all in control. Is that right? Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say, I did come to have church. Now stand up. Amen. Let's sing that again. Thank God I'm free, Brother Harry. Let's sing it one more time, the chorus, and then we'll go to the Lord on behalf of these prayer requests. Brother Robert, I want you to get ready to lead us to the Lord in prayer tonight. Thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. Washed in the blood of Jesus, I've been born again. So glad that I found out the measure of Jesus.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you once again for coming to your presence. I thank you, Lord. As Brother Lewis said, does anybody hear about the blood? And Lord, I hear about the blood every time I come to church. I thank God for the blood. The blood is in the song we're singing. The blood is the natural need that the community needs. But thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ that washes everything and makes us clean. Thank you, Lord, for the sacrifice you made on Calvary. Thank you for the stripes that you suffered for our sakes, Lord. How long we have waited to see you and embrace you, and thank you for that very fact. Thank you for the opportunity for us to bring requests and faith to be able to believe it, Lord. Your faith that you've gifted to us. I pray for the pastor in New York that Brother Robert mentioned. I pray for the amputation that was mentioned. I pray for the serious needs, Brother Junior and his family, Lord. All these things, Lord, are coming together as a body. And
yes,
I pray, Lord God, that you be glorified in all all these opportunities that have been given, Lord, as a result of your divine mercy and love and thankful hearts of people who love you. We pray, Lord God, in your precious name. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Rob. God bless you. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here tonight, we want to welcome you. Glad to have you. All those that are streaming this service, we pray it'll be a great blessing to those folks as well. Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I believe he's coming back just like he said. Do you?
Amen.
You believe it with all your heart?
Amen.
Give him one more hand clap of praise tonight if you love him. High up on the mountain. All sing it, church.
Cause it's one that you see leaving in like manners, coming back just like he said.
Well, and I believe he's coming back like he said. I believe a trumpet's gonna sound so loud. It'll resurrect our dead.
In the twinkling of an eye.
Hallelujah.
He's gonna split the eastern sky.
Oh, and I believe he's coming back like he said. Say it, buddy.
I believe the time is nearing that will soon.
Hallelujah.
See his appearing. Oh, this could be the hour. Oh, this could be the
Hallelujah.
Day.
Oh, praise the Lord.
When the bride from every nation.
Yes, Lord.
Starts to lose gravitation in the middle of the air.
A trumpet's gonna sound so loud, it'll resurrect all of our dead.
In the twinkling of an eye,
thank you, Lord.
He's gonna split the eastern sky.
Oh, and I believe he's coming back like he said. Yes, I believe he's coming back. It's gonna sound so loud. It'll resurrect all of our care.
In the twinkling of an eye.
Hallelujah.
He's gonna split the eastern sky.
Oh, and I believe he's coming back like he said.
Oh, and I believe the time is nearing.
Oh, yes,
that
I do.
Will soon see
Hallelujah.
His appearing.
Well,
this could be the hour. Oh,
this could be
the day.
Okay.
When the bride
Hallelujah.
From every nation
oh, yes, Lord.
Starts to lose gravitation in the
trumpet's gonna sound so loud, it'll resurrect all of our dead.
In the twinkling of an eye, he's gonna split the eastern sky.
Oh, and I believe he's coming back like he said.
Oh, in the twinkling
Hallelujah.
of an eye, he's gonna split the
Amen. Let's sing just a little bit of the song, I'm Amazed That You Love Me. Are you amazed by the love of God in your life? Praise the Lord. What He is doing for us. Brother Terry, these services, we've been taking some incredible journeys, haven't we? Venturing into the Word of the Lord to see how God deals with human beings. I'm glad the Lord's letting us see all the facets of a human being's life. God is able to take nothing and make a lot out of it. Do you believe that with all your heart tonight? Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Let's sing a little bit of it tonight, Brother Harry. Give me a verse. We'll help you on the course. You got to make up for lost time.
No one knew how long I was feeling, and the emptiness I tried so
oh, yes.
hard to hide. Though I laughed and said my life was fine without you.
Yes, Lord.
I was covering up the secret tears I cried. Then one day,
oh, thank you, Lord.
Someone told me of your mercy.
Play the song.
And the love you showed on a hill called Calvary. There you died and purchased my salvation.
Thank you, Lord.
When you broke sin's power and set my spirit
oh,
free.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, I'm amazed that you love me.
That you love me, Lord.
Lord, I'm so amazed just how much you care.
Through your precious blood,
I found pardon. And my sins,
they're washed,
they're all washed away. Oh, my sins, they're washed away.
It's true, there have been days
thank you, Father.
I failed you.
Thank you, Father.
Lord, you know the many times I've gone astray.
Oh, yes, you do, Lord.
Love is stronger than
my weakness.
And your ears are open
every time we pray.
No one else
oh, it's a
has
truth,
ever
church.
Cared for me like you,
it's
Lord.
A truth.
Other friends could never be
hallelujah.
As close to me.
Hallelujah.
I'm not afraid. Face the problems of tomorrow.
Knowing this.
Knowing you are everything.
You're everything.
I'll ever need.
Well, I'm amazed that you love me.
That you love me.
Lord, we're so amazed. How much you really care. Precious blood of our Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody say, I believe it with all my heart. God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated tonight. We're going to have a couple of songs. Brother John Cockman, if you'll come on and get ready to sing. Also, the band has a song. I want all of y'all to come on up here and be ready to play as soon as Brother John finishes up. So come on up here. All the band. Get on up here. Let's give our singers a nice hand tonight as they get ready to sing for us.
kick with them a little bit, and this will be my part for them tonight. I tell you what, we are witness of what God is doing in this age.
Amen.
You know, the prophet said to watch Israel, and I was reading this morning a story out of the AP. The Israelis, when they protect the homeland there, they have a really high-tech piece of a system called the Iron Dome.
Yes, sir.
And I tell you what, it's so high-tech, it detects shifts, minute shifts in the wind. They can see a rocket coming. And it's not like a physical dome that deflects rockets off of it. What it is, it's a munition system that fires weapons at those incoming rockets and destroys them. It's a defensive system. And it's amazingly accurate. Well, this week, there was a testimony of an Israeli soldier, and he was controller on the Iron Dome. And there was a rocket that came out of Gaza. And they can predict where this rocket's going to land within several hundred feet. It was heading toward a population center where hundreds could have been killed. And so they activated the Iron Dome. The first barrage missed the rocket. It kept coming. The second one missed. It's a very rare event. The rocket kept coming. They weren't going to have time for a third attempt. This Israeli commander had already wired in emergency to arrive. He said within about 4 minutes there's going to be mass casualties. And all of a sudden they were looking at their system and they detected a huge change in the wind. The wind picked up to nearly hurricane force in the area of that rocket. It blew the rocket from Gaza out into the sea. And he said, I've seen firsthand the hand of God protecting his people. God is still watching after Israel. Amen. I believe it. The band's going to do a song that my brother wrote called How Can Two Walk Together Unless They Agree? Right, I'm going to try to play along with the brothers here.
Forever and both see differently. Well, tell me, who should I walk with and who should walk with me? Who must I agree with and who must agree with me? I must agree with the one who opened up the book and let me look inside. I must agree with the one who shed his blood and gave back his life. Maybe you and me don't see things eye to eye, but we have life eternal if our hearts agree with Christ. Now he is the Word, and the Word is eternal life. To receive his Word is to receive his life. I know that he agrees with me when I receive his Word. And to walk together in one accord, I must agree one who opened up the book and let me look inside. I must agree with the one who shed his blood and gave back his life. Maybe you and me don't see things eye to eye, but we have life eternal if our hearts agree with agree with the one who opened up the book and let me look inside. I must agree with the one who shed his blood and gave back his life. Maybe you and me don't see things eye to eye, but we have life eternal if our hearts agree with Christ. Maybe you and me don't see things eye to eye, but we have life eternal if our hearts agree with Christ.
Don't we? Amen. God bless him. Brother Harry, let's sing a chorus tonight. Brother Donnie gets ready to come bring the word of the Lord. You going to pray for your pastor tonight? I believe we're going to be blessed from the word of the Lord, don't you? Amen. Somebody say praise God. Somebody say praise God. Give me one more hand clap of praise tonight. If you love him. Sing it. Hallelujah.
He usually tells me what to sing, so I don't know what to do. As Brother John was singing, I think we're seeing the signs. I'm Amen. Glad we're seeing the signs.
That's right.
I'm ready to go home.
Amen.
G. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. There'll be no more dying then. We are going to see the King. Oh, there'll be no more dying there. We are going to see the King. Oh, there is no more dying there. We are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King.
Amen. Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face and God talked with him. Wow.
Amen.
As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee. If you didn't know any better, you'd think this guy right here never made no mistakes. Never had any shortcomings. But you know better. As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee. Based upon what, God? Based upon, because I want it. Don't need any other reason. If God wants you, you're got. You ought to shout glory. And there ain't even enough devils out of hell to get you. I was thinking about it today. God's elect, they are so sought after from both worlds. God loves you. God wants you. God needs you as a part of his kingdom. Satan wants you because God wants you. He'd love to have you on his side. But he can't get you. He'd love to have me on his side, but I ain't for sale. Praise the Lord. As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, as we read these words tonight, I pray you who spoke them so many, many years ago, make them real to us tonight in the way that we need to hear them. We do not believe that this Bible, which we read and put our faith in, is some book of Jewish or Hebrew making. What people would write this about their own father? What historian would disclose the sins and the wrongdoings of their people? You are the author of this book, and our faith hinges upon that. Speak to us tonight, dear God, from your word. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I want to speak to you again tonight on the lives of the prophets. We'd like to look at Abraham again. We've done dealt with several bad mistakes and several faults, so surely we're past all of that. Surely after you cover a few mistakes in most godly people's lives, well, what are we allowed? Three or four? I forget what it is. I'm talking about a million. No. You know, God looks at things in such a different way and in such a different perspective than what we do. And we know his ways are as high as the heavens is above the earth, above our ways. And the only way we can really think like him and understand like him is to have his mind and to let him change, transpose, transfigure, transform our way of thinking into his way of thinking, because it's so definitely so different than our own. Now we've passed about 13 years of silence in the life of Abraham since the last Wednesday night that we looked at this. The Bible, for whatever reason, the Spirit of God chooses certain spots in these people's lives. It does not give necessarily a day-to-day dialogue of what's going on about them. It's not a diary of this happened on Monday and this on Tuesday and this on Wednesday at 3 o'clock and this on Wednesday at 6 o'clock. But the Spirit of God chose certain points in their life. Some of them were highlights. Some of them were diplos. I'm glad for them diplos been wrote there, because I have a few diplos myself, ain't you? Where you dip down there pretty low down and the Spirit of God reaches down and brings you up. But he chose these things himself. in order to convey what he wanted this Bible to be able to reflect. It's a book of poetry. It's a book of love. It's a book of history. It's a book of so many different aspects of the character of God and the character of the people that it's written about. So after we left Abraham the last time, 13 years have now passed. And we know that Abraham has now become a father. And Abraham has reached a stage, Abram his name is still now, he's reached a stage in his life to where he's pretty satisfied because he believes that he has reached a place in God to where the fulfillment of the promised word is well on its way of being accomplished. So we don't find any more in his prayers of him praying that God would give him a promised son. He has now somehow reached a place of satisfaction because he has this son called Ishmael. But you know what God does? God goes beyond Abram's expectation. God goes beyond what he's looking for. God even went beyond what he expected. Because God had another plan. I'm glad when we make our Ishmaels, God doesn't always stop on our Ishmael plans. Now, let's watch how God reintroduces himself to our character here tonight, Abram. Let's look in verse 1 again. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, so he's 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram. Now this is a visible appearance. It is not something in the form of vision or dream, in the form of a theophanic appearance or a body of mortal flesh that God created and breathes existence into. So God actually appears to him in a physical form. And you'll see this by Abraham's reaction. The Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Now remember, Moses skips over 13 years of his life. Now these years have not been with nothing going on. There's been all kinds of things going on. But really, when we look at it historically and look at Abram's mindset, we see mostly of what has been going on. It's been negative things according to the promise of God. Now remember, he's got a 13-year-old boy. This boy has now woven his way into his father's heart, into his father's passions, into his father's desires. For 13 years, Abram is now focused on this boy, which he believes will be the promised son. So you mean to tell me that we have got a prophet of God that is so far out of the will of God that he believes Ishmael is going to be the promised son? Isn't that grounds of building a website against him, don't you think? Or maybe writing a book against him? I mean, my, all these things that we're looking about this man, isn't his credibility greatly injured? He's a deceiver. He's a liar. And now he's focusing on the wrong promise? Oh my, you folks are quiet for Wednesday night. Now, watch how God comes by grace. Thank God for grace. The Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Now, here's another manifestation of the many names of God that he chooses to reveal himself in. Now, watch this. And the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Now, Genesis chapter 15, verse 7, whenever God established initially the covenant with Abraham, he reveals himself to him in the name of Jehovah or Yahweh. So he makes himself known then initially in the name of Jehovah. Now notice how he chooses his names to reveal according to the time of the need. But by this name he had not been yet made known. Now watch, I am the Almighty God. So here Jehovah describes himself as the Almighty God, which is El Shaddai, the Mighty One. The El Shaddai, the Mighty One. So here Jehovah says, I am El Shaddai. Now why would he come to him in this name? Because the contents of the name is going to reveal the furtherance of the promise that God's going to give. Now notice this. God is not now revealing himself because Abram has been praying and praying and seeking God and seeking God. Oh God, I know there's more. I know there's more. Because really, when you look at it, Abraham is in a very satisfied state. He's going to church two or three times a week or once a week, whatever it is that he goes. He's paying his tithes. He's a pretty good sort of a Christian kind of a guy. He's walking along. You know, he's not been messing up really bad, been doing a lot of bad things, anything like that. And he's really kind of settled down into this Ishmael revival. So he's not praying for the promised son. And he's just kind of settled down. So God is not revealing himself to him because Abraham has been fasting and praying and day in and day out and waiting for revival. Boy, am I glad God's this way. Because there'd been so many times I would have missed him. There'd been so many times Happy Valley would have been sitting up on this hill with no revival. Because sometimes we get where we just kind of come to church and we get in a rut and a routine. And we're not even asking for it. And all of a sudden on a Wednesday night or a Saturday night, the Holy Ghost comes down in this place. It wasn't because you deserved it. It wasn't because I deserved it. It wasn't because we even asked for it. Because we thought it would just be a humdrum Saturday night, but all of a sudden, guess who shows up? El Shaddai. Hallelujah. Beyond our prayer, beyond our expectation, and beyond our hope. And here he comes with something that was totally different than what we was even thinking would happen. Thank God he's still God. Now notice, so he does not come in a past tense revelation and give him something that was old, but he gives him something totally new. Now notice what he asks of Abraham. I am the Almighty God. Walk before me. Now in making the covenant, God is now actually reconfirming the covenant, which is already made in Genesis 15. But with a further advancement of the covenant comes a further advancement of his name. Now remember, in his name is his character. So when you see God reveal a new portion of his name, you see a portion of God's character which was not yet revealed up this far. So here God is making known a portion of his character that Abram had not yet seen. In there contains something which is going to be magnified as the recipient of the covenant becomes one with it. Now it's evident that Abram needs more than just another promise. He needs strength. He needs strength out of that promise. I believe we do as well. I don't think that we're looking for a new message, and one day the voice of God will find the tape buried way back in the middle of summer and say, oh my, this is a rapture tape. We got a bunch more quotes and this is going to be this one. No, there's going to be a strength that has to come from the presence of God to anoint what we've already heard. Exactly right. Now watch what God does. So God reveals a further part of himself. And God does not just pour this out on Abraham and say, I'll tell you what you can do. I'm going to do this and this and this and this and this and this. And you just stay as you are. You're reading your Bible three or four times a week. That's good enough. As a matter of fact, if you want to, you can cut it down about once a week. And you can cut back to going to church every other week and sit once a week. And just pay your tithes whenever you want to. And do good whenever you want to. God, no. God's now revealing himself in a further way. And this is what he asked of Abram. I am the Almighty God. Now I require something of you, Abram. I want you to walk perfect before me. Uh-oh, you mean this ain't just all grace? You mean God just don't give and give and give and give and we're on the receiving end? What's God calling for? He's calling for a higher walk in this man.
If God is going to reveal himself in a greater way, he wants more consecration from this man. Praise the Lord. Now remember, he's lied, he's deceived, he's become complacent, he's become indifferent on the promise. And God said, you're not going to stay there, Abram. You're going to have to move up in order to be able to comply with the revelation of my name. Now watch what God says. I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. Now remember, the covenant had been made for 14 years. 14 years this covenant had been made, and Abram had not hardly seen one manifestation according to the promised word, because Ishmael was not a part of this covenant promise. Ishmael's going to have common blessings, but not covenant blessings. The church has all types of common blessings, but only the elect get covenant blessings. Now, he had yet seen any manifestation of the covenant. And here it was, 14 years had passed, and the seed has not grown. The seed of promise has not multiplied. Oh, you say Ishmael. Ishmael was not part of that promise. Abraham's flesh produced that. Now, notice then he says in verse 3, and Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name, listen now, be any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations I've already done it, have I made thee. And he's got one boy. Have I made thee? Now, you're Abraham in this state of his life. This is totally overwhelming. He didn't ask for this. He didn't ask for a reconfirmation of the covenant. He never asked for a manifestation of God's name revealing the person of his character. And yet God in sovereign grace comes down and reveals this to this man and brings with it a name change. Thank you, Jesus. Now in verse 9, we find circumcision is given. In verse 15, God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Wow. This is what they both waited for 25 years. And watch his reaction. Then Abram fell upon his face and laughed, and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? This is not a life thing of glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. This is a life of, you're kidding me. You've got to be kidding me. A child is going to be born from a man who's 100 years old? This sounds like impeachment grounds to me. We ought to impeach this man for claiming to be a prophet of God. Oh my. Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? Shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? He's not saying she will and I will, but can this happen? The NIV version says it this way. Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? And Abram said to God, if only Ishmael might live under your blessing. You mean, Brother Jim, he's waited all these years to hear this, and this is his response? We have prayed. We have asked. We have begged God to let His coming arrive. Oh God, whatever it takes, Lord, what, let the pressure come. And when it does, what do we say? Oh, that Ishmael may live before thee. Back off, God. I wasn't serious. Back off, God. I can't handle this pressure. Lord, back off. We can't take all this tension. We can't take all this that's going on. I didn't really mean it, Lord. Oh, that Ishmael may live before thee. Watch what's happened to him. A condition of complacency has now so moved in this man's heart that what he longed for and begged God for and pleaded for has now moved over from the invisible to the visible, which was a work of his own flesh. He helped make Ishmael. Well, praise the Lord. Brother Louis just thought y'all was quiet on him tonight. Now, another version says it this way. Abraham fell with his face to the ground. He laughed and said to himself, will a son be born to a man who's 100 years old? Will Sarah have a child at the age of 100? Abraham said to God, I wish Ishmael could receive your blessing. So instead of saying, glory to God, somebody hold my horse while I have a spell. Man alive, I'll be back tomorrow. I'm running all the way down to Gerar and back. Glory to God, it has arrived, it has arrived. But instead he says, no, God. No, God, you don't understand. No. You've got this all wrong. This is not the way this is supposed to work. I don't want another son now. I've got one. The lives of the prophets. Huh. And you folks still, I suppose, think that this man is a prophet of God. Wow, how peculiar. You mean this doesn't hurt your confidence in him at all? Really? Mama. How long has it been since y'all been to a psychiatrist? You mean to tell me you will still give this man the credibility of a prophet of God? Me too. Abraham said to God, I wish Ishmael could receive your blessing. Then God said, I will bless Ishmael, but your wife Sarah will have a son by you. Hang tight. Abraham, I know you don't believe this. I know you're not even expecting it. And right now you don't even want it. But it's going to happen anyhow. I hope you realize you're going to take the rapture the same way. It makes no difference how low to sleep the bride may get in this age. It makes no difference what Satan does. God, when he's ready for the rapture, he will have a bride. All the devils out of hell won't stop him. And greater than that, you won't stop him. Amen. Why? Because he has already said it. Those names who are in that Lamb's Book of Life, they will be there. Nothing can stop them from being there. Abraham was actually Abraham's greatest enemy. So when you go home tonight and take your dentures out or brush your teeth or whatever you do before you go to bed, look in the mirror and look at your greatest enemy as well. You talking about sovereign grace. Some of you that love your free moral agency so well, I'm so glad sovereignty overrides the ignorance of my free moral agency. Oh yeah, what if God would have given Abraham what he wanted? Said, okay, just forget it tonight. I won't even let Isaac come along. That's all right, I'll just take my promise back. God cannot take back his word for nobody, even a prophet. Woo! Just because that prophet was out of synchronization with God, God still ain't going to take back his word. Now notice the King James in verse 18 says, and Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. For 13 years, God, I've had this boy. Oh, he's a wonderful boy. Abraham, have you forgot what I told his mother? He's a wild man. He's untamable. He's unconvertible. His hand will be against every man and every man against him. He'll live by his bow. He'll live among his brethren. Have you forgot all that, Abraham? So all at once, wham, here comes this great, wonderful message, and God himself brings it in a body form and says, you're going to have another son. And Sarah's going to give birth to it. You don't have to do that. I mean, ain't that a lot of trouble? I mean, her heart rate, her blood pressure, her kidneys, I mean, you know, labor, carrying the baby 9 months, that's a lot of trouble, is it? I've already got a son. Just take what you said and put it over on the denomination. I mean, over on Ishmael. And let them be your wife, and let them be your beloved, and let your desire be toward them. And just let all of that you said, just move it over here and let it fall right on them. Is that a problem? It is a problem. Why? Because that ain't what he said. That ain't what he thought. Amen! That ain't what he thought. He never thought Isaac, and then he can put it over on Ishmael. Ishmael was not his thought. Friends, can it be true? Can it be true that a prophet of God, a man of this caliber, Almighty God comes down before him, and here he falls down before him, as the custom was, to bow to those first, to go down to your knees, and then go all the way down to the ground, and stay there until that person spoke back to you. If it was 5 minutes or 10 or 30, and you stayed in that prostrate condition until that individual spoke to you. So here he's actually seeing a visible body. And this body knows who it is. And he's telling him, I'm fixing to do it. He said, I really don't need that. I'm not sure I even want that. What's wrong with Ishmael? I mean, what's the problem? Have you got a problem with Ishmael? God, I believe you're a racist. I mean, you're going to choose Isaac over Ishmael? I believe you made a mistake on this, God. You say, Brother Tony, how could he do that? Think back about yourself. How do you and I try to instruct him? When things happen in our life, not the good things, not raises, not blessings, all that. Oh yeah, we know he's right on track when he sends us that. But when something difficult happens, we say, God, why would you let me go through this as if though you know more about it than he does? Why, his heart is so attached. He loves Ishmael so much. It's like he doesn't have room in his heart for Isaac. Friends, the flesh dies hard. The flesh dies hard. You've heard me say it before. There ain't nobody in the world I love any more than me. I'm my favorite person. You're the same way. You laugh at me like I'm some weird. I'm not any more weird than you are. Who'd you feed coming to church? Your wife or you? Whose body did you base? Come on. Who do you take care of? Look at yourself. We love ourselves more than we love anybody else. And Abraham had made this through a terrible mistake. And he just can't seem to let it go. Why? His affections, his love. So now he wants to look for excuses or quotes that will now uplift this Ishmael. Oh, that Ishmael may live before thee. Literally, when you look at these words in the Hebrew, it's live before you. It's an Hebrew idiom, what is called an idiom. A Hebrew idiom that means live under your special care. Now God was not saying, I'm going to forget about him, I'm just going to toss him in the garbage somewhere. But he does not get my eye. He does not get my covenant. Another translation says, why not let Ishmael be my heir? Another one says, if it pleases you, do through Ishmael the things you have promised me. Oh my. We all love our Ishmaels. You see, Ishmael is our first birth. It's our flesh. And Isaac is our second birth. The miracle birth. A miracle baby. Ishmael is natural reproduction of life. What was Donnie Reagan, born July the 9th, 1956? It's sure it's a miracle within itself, but it's a multiplication of human cells, right? Some from the father, some from the mother, coming together, multiplication of human cell. But what was that little Donnie, whatever my name was in the Word? What was that whenever I was born? I'll tell you what that was. That was a miracle baby. That was a new birth. Every one of you that's had it, you know exactly what I'm saying. But it's so hard for us to let go of Ishmael, the ways and the way we are. Why? Because most of us love the way we are. We love this temperament. We love, and we don't understand why everybody don't love us and want to be just like us. Because we are so wonderful and so great. Now you say, I don't feel that way about me. Then do you have a problem when people cross you? You know why? Because you think you're right and they're wrong. Well, praise be to God. So after 25 years of waiting, the anticipation is built and built, and now it's kind of weighing down a little bit. And it's become satisfied with, I'm in the message. I believe God sent a prophet, sure. I go to church. I go to Brother Donnie's church. I didn't say no more than you go to a hog lot. You're not born again. Oh, I listen to a tape every now and then where I need you or not. My goodness, I do this and that and the other. And, you know, just kind of complacent. God said, hey, you need the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost? Well, I'm a believer. I'm a lesser believer. You can be that and still not have the Holy Ghost. Now, wait a minute, Brother Donnie. You don't believe what Brother Branham said about it? He said, Brother Branham, I believe every word you said. He said, that's just being able to read. So you can say you believe every word he said and still not born again of the Holy Ghost. What is it? Message Ishmaels. And we've got them everywhere. We've got churches full of them. We've got youth camps full of them. And people will not let them go. And God will tell them, I'm an anointed preacher. You better get Isaac. You better get Isaac. He said, no, sir. No, sir. Let the blessing of God fall on Ishmael. God said, no way. I never thought about Ishmael. But unlike some of the dissenters who have left our message and left Paul's message and Luther, God didn't say, all right, Abraham, I'm writing a book about you. I'm going to put you up on YouTube. I videoed you laughing at me. Now I wonder, what would you have done if you was living back there in the day of Abraham and you was close enough in proximity that you saw this being and heard what he said to your prophet and you heard your prophet's response? And it just so happened you had your iPhone. You pulled out your Samsung Galaxy. And you record it all. You record Almighty God speaking to Abraham. You record Abraham speaking back. You report Almighty God speaking back to Abraham. And you record Abraham speaking back. And you go home and load it up on YouTube. I want all the world to see what kind of prophet this is. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Good time for the doxology. But did God do that? Notice God's response. And God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed. not worthy of it. You're not even expecting it. You're not even good enough for it right now with the attitude you've got. But I'm going to do it anyhow. That's my daddy. That's my daddy. Oh, I tell you what, that's one of the reasons I love him so. Because he knows exactly what we need when we're saying, I don't need that, God. I don't even want that. I don't need that. He said, yes, you want to eat it right now. You mothers ever have to force things down your little children when they were little? Oh, I don't want that, Mama. Open your mouth and swallow it. God has to do it. It's amazing. But God, how many of his children he has to do the same way? God, I don't like bread yesterday. He said, open your mouth. And God, swallow it down. And then when you swallow it, the glory to God, I see it. Oh, hallelujah for predestination. Oh, hallelujah. God said, Lord, I don't want that serpent seed. I don't want that serpent seed. I don't want that election. God said, swallow it down. And you swallow it down. That old serpent seed. How in the world? I thought a serpent laid eggs. Serpent seed, I see it. Oh, thank you, Father. I love broccoli. Thank you. I'll tell you one thing, if anybody could have a lot of YouTube videos, it would be God. Can you imagine God's library of videos of the mistakes of his people? Their doubts, their unbelief. But Google it all night tonight, all day tomorrow, through the year 2087. And you'll not find none of them that God ever put up. Because when they repent, God destroys the video. Woo! Glory. And God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed. And thou shalt call his name Laughter. Isaac means laughter. When Ishmael was born, he brought dissension. When Isaac was born, he brought laughter. When my flesh was born like yours, it brought dissension and trouble. But when my soul was born, it brought laughter and joy and peace and power. Thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant. Amen. Notice, God don't stagger. God don't stumble. God simply repeats the same promise he made to Abraham. God never stuttered. I can't believe it. God just said it as if though Abraham agreed 110% because he knew eventually he'd come around. Oh, glory. Friends, don't you understand how he could put our names on the book? God ain't got no confidence in this old stinking flesh of ours, but he knows that soul of ours is the Word. And he knows if it takes him 47 years, he'll get your soul to agree with him and it'll be called out of here. Praise be to God. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his seed after him. You mean God ain't going to vote him out? Now what about this man's credibility? We hear this word being said so much. Credibility. So I'm not presenting to you now a vision of the cloud or a vision of a bridge or whatever more that people can't understand, so they can't understand it, so that, well, Brother Bram don't have no credibility. I'm presenting to you facts from the Bible. Anybody have a count of the websites that went up after we dealt with this last time? None. Why? Hypocrites. Suit yourself. I'm going to preach with you or without you. Be easier on you if you come along with me. If you want me to tote you, I can. You'll make it hard on me? Fine. I've been there and done that before. I can do it. I'm going with you or without you. But remember, this service has been wrote down in your heaven and your response has been written down accordingly. I'd so hate for the Lord to say you folks could have helped him, but you didn't do it. establish my covenant with him. God confines the spiritual covenant to one family in the entire earth. He can't do that. Well, don't tell him. He thought he could.
Amen.
Now, why is Abraham, what kind of frame of mind is this man got? He had such a false hope, but it was so strong. The word initially could not penetrate that false hope. He believed it so strong. This is it. Yes, 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 this is it. And when Almighty God stands right there and looks at him eyeball to eyeball,
yes, sir,
he will not accept it. There's hope for us.
Amen.
Don't you see what God's got to do? It's shock and awe. God's got to shock him and then awe him. Don't you see what God's doing? God is shocking this man. You're kidding me, God. There's no way, man. All my hopes, everything is based. Them sure hopes. Them ain't mine. I never told you one time he was mine. I never told you one time this was right. I never vindicated none of this stuff. So what's God got to do? He's got to dislodge the foundation of hope. Oh my. Galatians chapter 4 verse 22 gives us a New Testament perspective of this. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. He who was of the free woman was by promise. God never promised Ishmael. Now watch verse 28. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit. This is why you'll never find true elect people of God persecuting other true elect people of God. People who want to see you suffer, people who want to see you sick or rejoice in seeing you sick, there's no way that person's born again. If they are born again, they've got a terrible devil on them and they need to be set free. Because it is the nature of the flesh, Ishmael, to persecute. Don't you understand yourself? Don't you understand how this persecutes you? Don't you understand how this outside man will persecute? Oh, you don't need to do that. Oh, you don't need to do that. What is it? It's Ishmael and Isaac again. Don't just get your eyes on the Gaza Strip and the Palestinians over there. Bring it on down to home and look at your Ishmael. Look at your Isaac and see who persecutes who. The very existence of Ishmael speaks of the weakness of Abraham's faith. They've been together for 13 years. You imagine his father waited all these years at 85 years old and this son is born at 86. And it goes on up to 87, 88. And oh my, year by year by year, he's training him and putting all this in him. And God's not even part of the program, but he believes he is. God never said it, but he's surmising and reading into the promise. Now, what if you'd been there on the message of that day and you would have heard Abraham get up and say, glory to God, God give me an heir. Hallelujah. God, give me an heir. Here's my son. He'll take my place. He'll... Don't that disqualify him from being a prophet? Been wrong? You folks got two standards, ain't you? I mean, disqualify Brother Branham, but don't disqualify Abraham. Can anybody tell me where Brother Branham ever made such a mistake that affected millions of people? Send it to my email, dumbkentuckyboy@www.goingtoheaven.com. That ain't your flesh, I smell it. It's that old devil hide. Isaac alone would be the heir of all things. But right now, Abraham don't believe that. Praise God. Ishmael represented the past. Isaac represents the future. Ishmael represents what you are. Your Isaac represents what you are and what you're going to be. But you imagine 13 years of Abraham going through all the precious memories and all the good times and all the days they spent together and all the hours they spent together. And in his mind, he's sorting through all this and trying to let it go. It's based upon hope. So he's trying to, God, how come this be? God, I don't know how this will be. But God knew he would get straightened out. That's one thing about God that's so great, I think, is how he can look out here beyond where we are. And he knew eventually I'd get straightened out. He knew I'd start out as a Trinitarian. I'd get baptized in titles. He knew I'd pray to the Father for a while, the Son for a while, and the Holy Ghost for a while. Then he knew I'd move on up to oneness of the Godhead. Then he knew I'd move on up, and I'd just keep right on moving. He's been moving me on up right now for a big number of years of my life, and I'm so glad that he has. And he knows eventually I'm going to get so straightened out, my body's going to match my soul, and I'm going to get straightened plumb out of here. Amen. But I'm so glad that he's patient. I'm so glad that he's faithful. I may not see it now. If you see something I don't see, well, pray for me, because if I need to see it, I will see it for sure. I will see it because I'm a part of this word and I ain't going to be left behind. God knew Abraham was struggling. He knew he didn't see it. He knew he was questioning it. But God knows he's my son. He will see it. Anybody ever question God or God's word or God's prophet or God's Bible or seasons in your life and time? Really? Hold them up. Come on. Come. Abraham's seed shores the world. If old Abraham was sitting right here on the front pew and said, "Preach it, Brother Donnie." I questioned him. I didn't understand it, but he was faithful. So friends, if you have brought an Ishmael into your life, give it to God. Don't try to take God's master plan and fit your Ishmael into the plan, but give your Ishmael to God and see where God fits him in the plan. You'll never be at peace with God until you do. Now watch, Jesus, the scripture here in St. John 3:6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now watch Ishmael and Isaac. St. John 6:63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and life. And that word there is rhema. So the rhemas that I speak to you, not the logos, but the rhemas I speak to you are spirit and life. Romans 7:18, for I know that in me that is in my flesh dwells no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. So what do we see? Ishmael and Isaac. Our Ishmael still persecutes the flesh. Or our soul, rather. Now look, when our Isaac becomes born by the breath of God, what will it do? Find its place. Did Isaac's birth destroy Ishmael? No. It only put him in his place. Brought him subject to the new dominion of which Isaac was the only heir to. Don't you see yourself? Does the new birth eradicate the flesh? It does not. But what does it do? This will not be heir with my son. The old flesh nature can be disciplined. It can be whipped. It can be made to be brought in line. But it still ain't born again until the body changes. Watch this in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, Ishmael and Isaac. and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. 1 Peter 2:11, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. You mean a person with the Holy Ghost? A person with the Holy Ghost, having the Spirit of God in them, they've got to abstain themselves from fleshly lust. Why? Because they war against your Isaac. But God will bless Ishmael. Notice Genesis 17:20 is, for Ishmael I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget. I will make him a great nation. Verse 21, but my covenant will I establish with the seed gene. Hallelujah. And oh yeah, just in case you're still having a problem with that, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. Chapter 18, verse 1. God and two angels come down and visit Abraham. Chapter 20, verse 1. And Abraham sojourned from thence toward the south country and dwelled between Kadesh and Shur, and sojourned in Gerar. Now, Gerar is located in the southern part of the land, generally under the dominion of the Philistines. This time he does not leave the land of promise. This time he sends in the message. Oh my. Now remember, El Shaddai has made himself known to him. God has appeared in a human form. He's told to draw from the breast of El Shaddai. He received the Holy Ghost in type. God and two angels have made themselves known to him. Surely all mistakes are over. Notice this country is well known for its sin. Even Abraham knew about it. Abraham said of Sarah in verse 2, his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. You've got to be kidding me. 25 years have passed since Egypt. 25 years. I think I'll have a meeting with the trustees after service and see if maybe we can install seat belts on our pews. Because some of these things I realize and I'm saying, well, y'all looking at me, you look like you ain't never read this. Abraham was a great man. A prophet of God. But Abraham's besetting sin was he had a tendency toward deceit. How in the world could we follow a man and acknowledge him as being a prophet of God who the Bible displays his character as being deceitful in nature? Deceit was his besetting sin. So here we go again, 25 years since he did this in Egypt. But now he moves into another place after all these great experiences. Now you know the answer to this. You know why he done it. Abraham was not born again. Right? He loved God with all of his heart, but he didn't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He was not born again. But a sin, what it shows to us is, even those that are born again, that a sin that is once committed, it's like it breaks down something in us. And that sin can be easily committed again. You brothers that broke over and look at something on the internet that you shouldn't have done. And the first time maybe it's so hard for you to do it. But the next time is a little bit easier. You sisters that broke down and listened to some gossip and you knew you shouldn't have done it, but after you've done it the first time, it's easier. Now let us not look back historically, oh my, ooh and ah, and ooh and ah, and ooh and ah. But let's take these things to ourselves and look and see none of us are the caliber of man that this man was. But he still had those human weaknesses. And once this had been committed, it was as if though there was a kink in his armor. It was a weakness there which it would be a human tendency for him to fall right back into again, even though he had not done this for 25 years. Or maybe the situation hadn't arose again for 25 years. Sometimes we think we're doing really good and it's actually we're not doing that well. It's just that the situation hasn't arisen quite like it was the last time we fell into that particular thing. Oh my. We can never let down our guard to Ishmael. Your Ishmael is with you every day. He's unconverted. He's not born again. He does not have the Holy Ghost. He has a tendency to lie, to deceive, to be a hypocrite, either that or to be self-righteous, better than everybody else, more revelated, which is just as wrong as the liar. Remember, wasn't Satan smoking a pack of pale males that got him thrown out of heaven? It was pride. Pride runs a whole lot more message, folks, than Winston's do. Proud of our family, proud of our name, proud of our temper, proud of how much money we make. If there's one thing you ought to be proud of, it's the grace of God and nothing about you or your temper or the color of eyes or the color of hair you got. If there's anything that we ought to be able to exalt, it's the grace of God, nothing about us. Just about the time you think, my, surely this thing is gone. Surely it's in the past. It'll never happen again. And we find him backsliding. Okay. Now, we're reverting back in time again tonight. Let's all get in the space capsule and we'll go backwards. So we're going from 2014 back to the 1900s, the 1800s. 1300s, on back to 12 B.C., 13 B.C., 1400 B.C. We get out of the space capsule, and here we are in the message of that day. And we're following our prophet. Where are we going, prophet? Down to the land of Greer. Should we be going down there? Hush, I'm the prophet. Yes, sir. Amen. That's right. Just get behind me and shut up. All right. So here we all are together. And remember, there was hundreds of people that Abraham had. Hundreds. So we go all going out to the land of the Gerar, and the king meets him. I can tell by these verses of the Bible that they actually have a personal conversation. So then he asks him, he said, who's this beautiful woman here? 90 years old. Can you imagine this man and this woman had had a physical body change? But it did not take away his tendency to deceive. All God done was reverting him back to a young man. The weaknesses were still there. I don't need to just go back to a young man. I've got to have a new body. I don't want just the fountain of youth, Brother Harold. I've got to be changed. Think of it, friend. If God only turned us back new and left these human tendencies, we wouldn't. There's certain people we wouldn't even want to be around in heaven because we don't want to be around them now. We need more than just being turned back to an 18-year-old man. Those things in us that cause us to differ and cause us to have words to one another, that's got to disappear out of our flesh. Thank God it does. But that had not disappeared out of Abraham. Abraham and Sarah were simply reverted back to a young man and a young woman, and the weaknesses were still in their bodies. So here she is, according to her birth certificate, she's 90. But she looks like she's about 18 or 19. So Abimelech said, who's that? He said, it's my sister.
So he goes over and asks her. He said, "Who are you?" "I'm his sister." Didn't y'all just get the Holy Ghost recently? Didn't y'all just have a body change recently? Now, of course, here we are. Rubinskis and Babahams and whatever our names are, you know, in that day. We're in the message, of course. We're following the prophet of God. We don't know what else to do. We're just following him wherever he goes. So here we are, and man, we're just saying, glory to God. We're just happy to be hearing the message. So we're standing around where we can hear the conversation, and Abimelech says, "Who's this?" He said, "It's my sister." He's like, "Oh, no, not again." Here we go. Or would have some of you already left by now? It's easy to see some of the apostates would have never made it to Greer. They'd left a long time ago. Because they thought they found a fault. This man has no credibility. He lies. He's a deceiver. Oh. Takes one to know one, they say. God will damn the souls of many of these apostates for calling God's prophet a liar. Many of them have crossed the line, blasphemed the Holy Ghost, and will never find repentance. Be careful what you say. His conduct is deceitful, deliberate, planned, thought through. So what would you have done, Jimbab? What would you have done, Jerry Phillips? Should I come on down and ask the rest of you? What would you have done? You'd have packed your little ditty bag and moved to the back of the church, and then the next thing you was out of there. Man, I can't hang around this guy. Oh, Lord, he ain't got no credibility at all. I'm making me a YouTube video. Got it on my iPhone. Would we have understood it? I wouldn't have. I just got to be honest. Deer in the headlight look, I mean, that'd been me. Donald O'Ham, Reagan O'Ham. I've been one of the Abraham bunch, you know. So I mean, whoa. But if some of them hair-lipped devils would have come around to me and said, "What, you say we get out of here?" I say, "You want out, you get out. I'm sticking with this man. I don't understand what's going on here, but I know this is a prophet of God. I know God has spoke to this man like none other. I know God has dealt with this man like no other man that's ever lived on the earth. If you want out, get out." So Abraham's deceit leads to Sarah being taken now into the harem. His deceit now leads to Sarah, which by now is pregnant with Isaac. She's carrying the word promised by God. And Satan is trying his best to get rid of that seed. You dumb devil. Oh, glory to God. Aren't you glad for amazing grace?
If it had been left up to Abraham, the seed would have been aborted by another man going into his wife, him being a coward, being deceitful. Come on, church. Not being man enough to stand up for the truth. But the sovereignty of God said, oh no, not this time. Amen. When the nervousness of a prophet of God after his wife passing and his baby passing, and he took his gloves off on that prayer line and put his hands on that electric line, divine sovereignty overrode human choice. And Brother Branham come to himself at the bottom of the pole. Why? God needed a prophet of Malachi 4 to bring the word of deliverance. When he was going to kill himself and tried to take his life, but God would not allow it. I'm so glad. I'm so glad. What is this problem? What is this man's problem? A lack of trust. A lack of faith. He just can't believe that God can take care of him. And yet he's the father of the faithful. Why don't we call him the father of the faithless? Don't you understand, children? What you are now and where you are now don't mean that's where you'll be next week. It don't mean that's what you'll be next month. This may be a setback in your life of what you're going through, a low time in your life. Don't you see what these things were? They were low times in Abraham's life, but that's not who this man was. That's not who he was. God knew he would come to who he wanted him to be. If you and I waste all of our time and spend all of our time in them down times of our life and say, well, I'm this and I'm that and I'm that. If that's what you want to believe about yourself, that's up to you. But I refuse to allow my down times to identify the real me. That's not who I am. I'm a son of God. I'm an heir unto the promise of the word of God. I am a son of Abraham. I am not a son of the devil. I don't belong to the devil. Look at this. A natural tendency to deception. Chapter 20, verse 3. But God... Glory. But God. Oh, I'd like to preach a sermon on that sometimes. But God. When Abraham had a mess out of it, but God. When Moses made a mess, but God. When I made a mess, but God. When Paul made a mess, but God. When Abraham would have made a mess, and Joshua would have made a mess, but God. When you would have made a mess, but God. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said unto him, behold, thou art but a dead man. That don't sound like no dream to me. That sounds like a nightmare. God come to me in a dream like that, I wouldn't sleep a wink the rest of the night, would you? Thou art but a dead man. For the woman that thou hast taken, she is a man's wife. Yes, sir. So here is God calling his prophet a liar. Brother Tony, how could you say that? True. Remember the man brought the baby after Brother Branham and told Sister Meadie to tell the Lord you wasn't in the house, and the Holy Ghost said, you hypocrite, you going to lay your hands on that baby? Come on, children, don't sit there and look so pious at me. And Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Lord. Notice the difference in the revelation. When the Lord appeared to Abraham, it's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. But notice what Abimelech refers to him at. Capital L, small o, small r, small d. When he said, Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? said he not unto me, she is my sister. And she, even she herself.
This is some kind of dream, ain't it?
Didn't she even say herself, he is my brother? In the integrity of my heart. This is heavy. This king with less revelation at this time in this scene has more integrity than the man who has more revelation. In the integrity of my heart. In the innocency of my hands. Have I done this? And God said unto him, yep, I know that. God said unto him in a dream, yep, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart. Also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore I suffered thee not to touch her. Glory to God. If I run off, one of you preachers finish this sermon. Now therefore, restore the man his wife. For he is I. He is a prophet. The word prophet, this is the first time in the Bible that it is used. Quite a scenario to use it, isn't it? The Hebrew word is nabi. He who speaks by God, God gives him the ability, of God and to God. Who declares to people not merely things future, but also things past and present that are not obvious to the sense or reason. The word prophet contains the idea of a person acceptable to God who can ask and obtain favors for men. That's what I'm talking about. Right there. That's what I'm talking about. So what about those who left Abraham back here in these different failure stages and human, all this human part back through here? And they're declaring a false prophet. And Almighty God tells this man right here, if you want your nation back, and you want your wives to start bearing children again, there's one way out of this fix. You didn't get yourself in it. Huh? You're innocent. Totally innocent. But this man is my spokesman. I was going to save it till the next time, but I think I'll go ahead and let her drop right now. Isn't it amazing? His wives, his concubines, every one of them couldn't bear children. And God calls a man in there to pray for them, and every one of them, their wombs is open. Isn't it amazing? He's prayed for his own wife for 25 years. Hallelujah! And one simple prayer caused hundreds of women to start bearing children. And he'd been faithful to God praying for his own wife for 25 years. Amen. Who can understand such a man? Praise God. How great is our God. Don't you appreciate it? So if y'all think about packing up your duty bag and leaving the prophet Abraham, I'd advise you to hang around. Because God will tell you he's his nabby. Another meaning of the word prophet is an interpreter for the person
of God. One who interprets or reveals God's character. Does it look like in this setting, this king has a better testimony right now than Abraham? Abraham is rebuked by this king. But did that change who he was? Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads together if you would. Lord Jesus, how great are your ways, my God. I love you so much. I thank you for these precious things in your word. Lord, I believe if I would have been standing there that day when I would have heard Abraham myself say that, I believe there's something in me. It wouldn't make no difference really if I lived in that day or the days of Noah or Luther or this day. My name was on your book. I'd have acted the same at every age. The time frame I lived in had nothing to do with who I am. I wouldn't have understood what he said. And I would have known he was a human. As I heard your prophet say today, whenever Moses got in the ark and opened up that window up on top and said, this day this scripture is fulfilled. It didn't stumble me, Lord. It didn't throw me away. I knew it wasn't Moses. I knew it was Noah. But I knew your nabby was a man. I'm so glad, Lord, I was thanking you again today that you had me to deal with some of these human elements years ago. You knew this move was coming, and you wanted us to be ready for it. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I was ridiculed and hated and laughed at, our church was, but I'm so glad I obeyed you so we would be ready. We know your nabbies are men. What would we have thought if we would have sat there that day when they would have brought Joseph's coat, his brother's, to the prophet Jacob and have told him that lie that an animal had killed him? And Jacob mourned and lamented and cried and wept. And you kept the truth from him for 20 years. Him believing the whole time that Joseph was dead. And you held it from him. Your prophet's comment was this: prophets are not gods. They're only men. And then they can only say what God allows them to say. No doubt if Jacob would have known Joseph was alive, he'd went down the land of Egypt and interrupted the whole program of God. So you left him in that state of darkness as it was. How many nights did he lay there awake crying and crying and lamenting over something that wasn't even true? Yet he believed Joseph was dead. And he couldn't understand it because it had already been revealed to him that Joseph was the successor. How could Joseph be the successor and Joseph be killed by a wild animal? He just couldn't make no sense out of it. It tormented him and tormented him for years and years. Yet it didn't disqualify him from being a nabby of God. It never disqualified Isaac when he loved Esau more than Jacob. Lord God, help us, I pray. May our hearts not only look at these great men, but may we look beyond our human failures as well. Lord, we want to fix and correct and discipline and bring into line our Ishmael. We want our Isaac to reign. Grant it, I pray, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Take this word that we've heard tonight. May it land on fertile ground, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. And the saints said,
amen.
You appreciate God's grace tonight.
Amen.
Praise be to God. Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. So let me bring it down to modern terms. So if you had found me in a lie and deceit, I'd lied to you, or you, or you, or you heard I lied to you, or you, whoever. Totally deceived you, totally misrepresented the truth, left something totally out of the equation that would have changed your opinion about something. And then you need prayer. You gonna come to me? Actually, you rebuke me, like Abimelech is fixing to do in the next few verses here. He's going to rebuke him and Sarah both. And then after he rebukes them, he says, will you pray for me? Yeah. You know why some of you just sitting there with that deer in the headlight look? Because you're not sure you can or not. You know why? You don't yet understand what I'm talking about. You're still looking at this and not looking at the gift inside of a man that God honors. If he would have been looking at this of Abraham, a deceiver, a man that did not tell the truth, but God told him, he's my nabby. And if you want to get better, call my nabby. Praise God. Amen. I'll tell you one thing, children, when we get there that day, it won't just be us singing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. Abraham will be joining in with us. Oh my goodness, who's that great big old loud voice? Sounds like Jacob. Oh my, amen. Ain't that David I hear too? Who's all them others? Oh, praise be to God. What are they all? Trophies of God's grace. Let's forgetting those things that are behind. Oh, you've got your mistakes and your failures. Don't wallow in them. Repent of them. Make them right with God. And let's go on. Don't let that identify who you are. Amen. Praise be to God. Wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is He. He's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. Oh, He's so wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is He. He's saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. God bless you, saints. I'll see you again, Lord willing, this weekend. I'm sure Brother Louis probably mentioned Brother Junior Davis and his family. I certainly want to continue to remember him in prayer. To be honest with you, I don't see how the brothers live in this long. I mean, not drinking 13, 14 days, whatever it's been. It's just a few drops of water. It's just absolutely unbelievable. But I took care of last night. I said, you know, we as humans, we sit and look at it and we think, if that man's got a revelation in his heart that God's going to heal him, he might lay right there in that bed, come in and out and in and out. The doctors say, no way. Nurses say, no way. And we think, oh my goodness, I don't know. But if he's got the revelation, he can get up and walk out. But you realize, without that, what are we? We're human beings. We're like Abraham. We're grappling for this and hoping for that and looking for that. But don't you actually believe God could do it? Look, friends, if he could raise a dead man that was 4 days dead, I know he can do that. I know he can. He's going to call Paul out one day and him been dead for 2,000 years and Peter and James and John. I know he can do it. But like you, I'm just saying, God, what do you want? What's your will? So we want to remember him. It's just so difficult. You can imagine just ongoing for weeks and weeks and weeks. Can we just have special prayer for him right now? Our brothers and sisters and others, maybe you have a need in your life tonight. Would you like to raise your hand before the Lord? We'll just take your need while we take theirs. If you're out there streaming tonight, just hold your hand up as well. Heavenly Father, our hearts so go out, dear God, to the Davis family. Lord, having seen some of what they're going through, Lord, and Sister Judy, the children, their spouses, the grandchildren, the friends, the mother, or the junior sister. I know it's been so difficult for them, Lord. And Lord, they seem rally a little bit and seem like a little ray of hope. And then, Lord, it kind of goes back down again. You know how we are. We believe in supernatural. We know even now you can raise him. If Martha could say it 2,000 years ago, even now, God will give you what you ask for. We believe the same thing, Lord. But what we're looking for is your mind. We don't want an Ishmael in this. We want an Isaac. We want the Isaac plan. That's what we want. Lord, if it's our brother's time to cross over, then we wouldn't want to hold him here, Lord. If he's hanging here for some reason, I don't know, Lord. I just pray, dear God, for your will to be done. Lord, others raise their hands tonight. Dear God, I ask in the name of Jesus for healing and for your blessings. Lord, for your deliverance. Those out on the internet streaming tonight, Father, may you go right there in their living room, in their home, in the hospital room. Brother Ben texted me before service and said he was putting earbuds in Brother Junior's ears so he'd be able to hear the service. They'd done that a week or so ago, and apparently Brother Louie had said something about clapping your hands, and Brother Junior took his little weak hands and started clapping his hands there on the hospital bed. Hallelujah. The body may be falling apart and all that breaking away, but the soul is still alive and well and still can rejoice in the presence of its Maker. Lord Jesus, go with us, I pray. Bring us back this weekend, Lord, if it be pleasing to you, Father, in Jesus Christ's name. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you, children. Go in the fear of God. Wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, is He.